Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 93, Ryan Rieger. Ryan is a solid seller, very, very successful. And what I really love is the beginning of his story, because I just think it's such a cool place. Again, what you're hearing in common in these interviews is things from the past helping propel people forward when they hit that e-commerce business. And you have that same thing. You just haven't figured it out. Maybe you have, but if you haven't, it's there. Just keep building on, listen to these, and start figuring out your why. What's driving you? What's bringing you back to something you know, and you'll have success. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Man, and tonight's guest, I'm going to call him an old man. I'm going to call him an old seller, real old seller, right? Because he's a lot younger than I am, but he's been in the business a long time. And what's cool is that he's been in an organized group. They call themselves masterminds, and I'm not a fan of that term because I don't believe there are masterminds. But the MM8 has been around for, 3-4 years maybe. We're going to find out a little bit about that. Ryan Rieger. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, Stephen.
You like how I called you old?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you're an old, salty dog. But you know what, though? In length of time, in length of sales, you have been doing it a long time, and you've been doing it at a very high scale for a long time, and you've been in the wholesale world. You've done it quite a bit. You know, you've accomplished. So I don't know if we can use this maybe e-commerce in like dog years. I wonder if there's a multiplier we could say, hey, you know, for every year you're in e-commerce, it's 5.5 years or something. Oh, wow. So let's talk about how you got started in the e-commerce business, because you didn't just fall into this, did you?
Well, I actually was, it's 2008 and I didn't have a job.
That's a tough thing.
Yeah, so I kind of, in a way, I fell into it, but I had been, so I had been a follower of Jim Cockrum since about 2002 or three. I read Silent Sales Machine back then, and so I knew I've always wanted to do something with my own business, but it wasn't until 08 that it really made sense. So I found myself without a job. I was working on a campaign. We lost the campaign. I was the campaign manager. So all I knew that was going to happen was I was moving to Texas and I was getting married.
Whoa.
So
two big events.
Yeah, exactly. And so I had no idea how I was going to support my wife and I, but she and her mom had started a furniture business, selling furniture on Craigslist. They had some wholesale contacts through my mother-in-law's job. So they were just doing it very part-time. So when I got here, I was intrigued, and I told my wife, she's my fiance at the time, I think we can really make this a full-time business. Her response was, no, you need to go get a job. But actually, she was very supportive, to be honest. She said, I don't mind if you work on the business, but as long as you'll spend equal amount of time, looking for a job. So I did almost that. Most of the time, actually, I was spending more time on the business. I was excited about it. So I just started posting ads all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area for furniture.
And I want to stop there a second because I want to understand something. So here you are, a political fella, right? I mean, I don't know what your degree is in, but I assume it's poli-sci or something like that.
History. Mm-hmm.
All right, history, right? Same thing, all related. Mm-hmm. And so here you are, a student of politics. Uh-huh. You're running a campaign, so clearly you're in that world. Uh-huh. You're living and breathing it. Is it sales in some ways?
A campaign certainly is. I mean, we're in the thick of one right now, as everybody knows. And so, and you're selling yourself. I mean,
selling
my candidate, yeah.
Okay, so you're in sales, and you come, and you're this whiz-bang salesperson, and you end up in Texas. Mm-hmm. Even Craigslist must have been just really, really getting started in 2008, right? I mean, it couldn't have been around that long.
Yeah.
In a commercial sense.
Correct.
So here you are. You go, and you start selling. And this is new furniture, correct?
Yeah, all brand new, correct.
All brand new furniture. Okay. And so you're now selling furniture, but not working. No, I think it's genius, and I think the skill is transferable.
Sure.
And so that's where I'm going with it, is I want to understand that skill set and that transference. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's why you were so good at it? I mean, is that, was there the highs and the lows that you had of the political race?
Well, one reason I was, and I don't know how much I would say I was good at it, is just I had to be good at it. It was either, it was more like, you know, I make this work or I have to go get a job. And to be honest with you, Stephen, I just really, my desire, and I wrote this down in my journal, and it's something I posted on my Facebook page just a few days ago. It's like, I wrote down my desires, and one of them was I really wanted to work from home. I wanted to work with my wife. And I wanted to do, you know, my own business. I didn't want to be tied to a boss anymore. I had some great jobs. I worked for Congressman Mike Pence. Now he's Governor Pence. I loved that job. I miss those people every day. But I've been an entrepreneur at heart since I was young. And so this was my opportunity. And in order to get that dream, I had to make it work. So that's pretty much why I hustled.
Did you have something to prove, do you think?
Maybe to my fiance. Yeah. Okay. Like, you know, like I can do this, we can make this happen, but you know, really it was God's grace that opened that door and allowed it to prosper. So
were your parents entrepreneurs or you said her mother was,
Mother. Yeah. Her mother actually was the one that started it. So she had some wholesale contacts and just started doing part-time Craigslist. Like, you know, her desire was to turn her home into a showroom essentially and invite people over to,
Huge clever.
Furniture, and then that was their way to see it. So
that's really clever, though. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, right? Because you could see it in practical. Yep. You know, absolutely. This is somebody's actually sitting on it, yep. As opposed to go to a showroom where it's really they try to make it look like it, but it doesn't look like anybody's house, yep. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's actually very clever. I'm surprised people aren't doing that now. So your parents were not.
No. My dad was
No other family member. I mean, you said you had a desire early on. Yeah. How did you get that desire? How did you know you had that desire? Let me say it that way.
This is kind of embarrassing, but when I was in second grade, I was a Michael Jackson fan. This was like, would have been like 1984.
Dude, his stuff's worth a fortune,
1984,
man.
1984. And I was making signs, either like with the his name on it or Thriller, or I was drawing something and selling them to the students. I remember that. I don't know why they were buying what I was selling, but they were.
That's funny. But you know what? Hey, and so you saw something.
Yeah.
That resonated with you. Did you do anything while you were in college or anything like that?
I did.
You did.
Sold Cutco knives.
Really?
Yeah. That was a great training for sales.
Now, where did you sell them? In the neighborhood, knocking on doors?
No, it's actually it was all referral based. So I started with family and friends, and then the way they trained us was to then ask family and friends for their family and friends that we could go show it to them. And so I just made appointments with them, called them up, and you know, went over to their house and opened up all the knives and showed them how they work, and sold about $30,000 worth.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's a lot. You know, and you know, those knives are guaranteed for life. They're still worth, anytime you see one out there, even used, they're worth a bunch of money.
Yeah, they are.
Do they still sell them that way?
They do. I think some of the things have changed with some of the new laws and stuff on phone calls, but it's primarily referral-based, yes.
No kidding. Nobody's ever approached me to buy a knife. Please don't. Okay. I'm not buying anything. Yeah. We're downsizing, so we don't want anything else. We don't buy anything for ourselves. We don't want anything. You know.
Okay.
That's funny. That's a really cool story.
Yeah.
All right. What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear how the furniture sales business went for you.
Sure.
Okay? We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. Yeah, I love the story again, you know, how getting there, you know, who would have thought a wholesale business on Craigslist? I mean, just think about that, you know, is that still applicable? Is there still a business model there? Maybe it's not Craigslist, maybe it's OfferUp, maybe it's LetGo, I think is a new one, whatever it is, even eBay. You know, it's just interesting to me that those options exist, and I think that model still could work. You know, Ryan is a very large seller who told me he's going to scale back his selling because he does information. So he's got lots of information. He's done wholesale before. Him and John Bullard right now are writing a book. You know, and I think, you know, don't get turned off by the information marketers. Just don't use them if that doesn't fit what you want. But if it does, this is a great opportunity, again, to catch up to others, to jumpstart your business because you're getting an advantage because you're taking someone else's knowledge and you know, trying to replicate it. And so I think there's value in that. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Ryan Rieger, and we're talking about his foray out of the knife business. You know, he was packing blades. It's actually a very cool story. And it's a, I think, you know, I always tell this story. We had a young woman that worked for us who was so quiet. And I'm always like, she's in sales. And I'm always like, how did she, you know, I don't think she's going to be any good. She was our best salesperson. Right. And it turns out she was a Mormon girl. And she was used to, she went on a missions and she was used to hearing, you know, doors slamming in her face. And, uh-huh. and for whatever reason, you know, for her, in her culture, that's what happened, and she was one of the best salespeople wow. we've ever had because she learned to overcome objections and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I assume you did too, and so you brought that into politics. Yep. There's a lot of similarities with knives and knife fights and politics, right? Right. There's some of right. that. And then you bring it into sales. But I think that that does – I always say Joy Packard always says that you figure out your why. One thing leads to another.
That's right.
And so I can see it kind of funneling you that direction. So you're now selling furniture with your fiance and your soon-to-be mother-in-law. Uh-huh. And how's that going for you?
It's going well. It's so in 08, well, in 08, I mean, I started in December of 08. I moved to Texas in November. Our first month, I think we sold $6,000 in December.
No kidding.
So, well, it sounds like a lot maybe, but it wasn't very much, and I was kind of discouraged.
But isn't furniture, the way I understand it, isn't it like, you know, 100% markup or 200% markup, right? Isn't it, you know, you buy a couch for $1,000, you sell it for $2,000 or something like that?
We were actually doing more like 1.5. So if we were buying it for $100, we'd sell it for $150. And the reason for that was just to basically to get the sale. Our angle was that we didn't have a showroom, therefore we didn't have all the expenses associated with that. So, you know,
makes sense.
That's what.
And people think they're getting a bargain. Well, they are getting a bargain.
Yeah.
If they're getting, you know, 50%.
They're getting a great
deal. Or 25% off. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So things went well.
And so in 2009, though, that's just like when the Lord just blessed it, and we had $250,000 in sales just in furniture. And what really blows my mind, Stephen, is the fact that like, I think back to it. It's like my wife was back home posting all the ads, and then I was the one that was driving to the warehouse, and it was in Arlington, actually, so you're familiar with the area.
Right.
I would go to the wholesale warehouse, pick it up. I had my wife's 1997 Toyota 4Runner, and then on the back of that was my father-in-law's. He just was gracious and allowed me to borrow his open-air trailer. So we attached that on the back of the 4Runner, and I drive this over to the warehouse, pick up all the furniture for the day, for all the deliveries, and then myself deliver all of this all over the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Yeah, I enjoyed it actually because I was for the first time I was actually be able to do whatever, kind of whatever I wanted, set my own schedule. I love to eat, and so I was trying all the new Mexican places down here because I was new to Texas at the time. It was an opportunity to learn the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex as far as the roads, and for me it was a blast. But looking back, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine doing that now.
You know, but you probably – I mean, I can't imagine in the political world, you spent a lot of hotels. You traveled an enormous amount, right? And so this kind of – you know, and you were always on a schedule or running somebody else's schedule, more importantly, right? And so this, you know, hey, I'm going to pick up the furniture and I'll get there and traffic's a little, you know, so I can see that freedom, that sense of freedom coming out a little bit.
That's right.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. So how long did you do that?
Oh, well, we sold furniture from end of 2008 until just a few months ago, honestly. And we still have a few furniture listings like up on eBay.
No kidding.
Yeah, but it's like 0.1% of our business, maybe. I don't even.
Well, let me ask you why. Why? I mean, did you just lose interest in it, or is that business completely changed, that model?
Kind of changed for us. I mean, there's still people that sell furniture online, of course. But so in 2010, we got one of our first obstacles, which was we got a letter from the city that we were living in saying you can no longer sell furniture out of your home, because we were having a neighbor must have complained, because there were some customers that didn't want to pay the delivery fee, so they opted just to come to our house and pick it up, which was fine with us, but it wasn't fine with our neighbors. So we got this letter, and so we had to find something.
A warehouse, right?
Something. Yeah, well, I wish the next step would have been a warehouse, but it was actually a retail store. We opened up a retail store, did that for a year, found out that we hated it because we had to be there even when it wasn't busy. But what?
Right. Your freedom that you worked so hard to get, because I hear a lot of people in the e-commerce world saying that they want to open a retail store.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my God, no. Do you understand what you're saying?
Oh, exactly.
Employees
yeah.
And, oh.
But you know what? It was actually a really good thing for us, because we learned from the retail store, we got some wholesale contacts of furniture that we would not have had otherwise, because we were now more legitimate to some of these companies because we had a brick and mortar store. But the main thing that we learned was actually how to ship furniture, how to use a freight company and ship LTL shipments. So that actually exploded our business, because now then instead of just posting ads in Dallas, Fort Worth, Craigslist, I could post them all over the country. And that's what we
no
did.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you learned that, and let's face it, and now that you're in an Amazon business, mm-hmm. having, you know, understanding that, having those relationships, right? Because there's some big companies, but there's also a lot of small companies, yeah. and they're the ones that you can really work with.
Right.
When you establish those results.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Ooh. So what that
again, did, we're flowing towards something. I can see it heading ways. That's interesting.
So what that did for us essentially was then in 2011, we had like $800,000 worth of sales. And that was a little bit of Amazon, merchant fulfilled with furniture, but mostly that was Craigslist all over the country.
So that's just you and your now wife at
Correct.
This point, right, Jay, and your wife, and still your mother-in-law involved?
No, my mother-in-law actually was just involved at the very, very, very beginning, and then, you know, she had a full-time job. She just retired, but she had a full-time job, so she wasn't really involved much.
And so were you describe your role. So you're now working with your wife, right?
Oh, correct.
Spending all your time with her.
Yes.
How's that go?
Oh, I love it. I know I talked to some other married couples that are like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine working with my wife. We'd kill each other. But for us, it's a blessing. To be honest with you, Stephen, I can't not imagine leaving at 8 o'clock in the morning and come back at 6 and not seeing her all day. I know a lot of people need that break and it's healthy for their marriage, but for us, it's like, it's just such a blessing that I get to see her every minute, and we get along so well. We have such an easy marriage, and I know it's just because of the Lord, but it's
– and there's probably a common word there, and I just used this when I was speaking at an event,
sure.
and I described some couples the same thing, and it's respect.
Yeah.
You know, it really is – there's a respect, and the respect goes outside of the marriage because
yeah.
now, you know, as a coworker in some ways, you know, but your partner, that respect needs to transfer through, and I think that's very healthy. And you're not the first couple. There are couples that would like it,
uh-huh.
and every time I get one of these interviews, I can always tell because somebody will tag the when I post it in a group, somebody will tag it and name their husband. And I'm always like, ooh, ouch, you know.
Right,
but
right.
Again, you know, how you get good behavior is by modeling. And so what you're doing is modeling, and you're another great example. And I have several others. So I think it's awesome. And I agree with you. I think, you know, I've been married 30 years, and I love my wife, and I'm not embarrassed to say it. And so I think that's a very cool thing. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I love
sorry, get off track.
It's such a blessing.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. So what are your roles, though? How do you break down your roles, I guess, then, and then we can jump
well,
forward to
then
today. But
she was like working extremely hard, just as hard as I was. She was posting all the ads. We were in the store. She had to be there with me most of the time. But now, and I'd love to go back to 2012 too, because that's kind of a huge turning point in our business. But now it's honestly, she's able to back away a lot.
Okay, good.
With a lot of the stuff that's going on with the information that I've been able to get into, the books and the courses. And with the fact that we haven't focused as much on Amazon sales, then it's just really allowed her to kind of, you know, do other stuff. So, which is great
okay.
for me. I enjoy it. She's happier, which makes me happier. So,
well, and it also brings more balance on that side because this is your time to rise, and so she can back off a little bit. And I think that's
yeah.
it has to ebb and flow.
Yeah,
I think that's very healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're still selling furniture back in 2009, 2010. You
right.
were cranking. Now you're cranking.
Yeah, then 2011 was a really great year, but then April 2012 comes around, and Okay, so my dad was helping me with, we were having to post so many ads that I hired my dad to help me post ads. He's retired, and so he at his job for General Motors, he did some very tedious tasks all day. So he does not bother him to sit at the computer and do the same thing. And so I had him posting ads for us, and then he calls me and says, Ryan, all these ads I'm posting, they're all pink now, essentially meaning that they were flagged and deleted. So the way Craigslist works is if I want to go on there and if I see something offensive or just shouldn't be on there, I can flag it and Craigslist can remove it if there's enough people that flag that ad. But there's auto flagging software that somebody made that essentially you can pinpoint ads and you can delete everybody, you know, all their ads. And so as soon as they were getting up in many cities, not every city, in many of them across the country, they would be gone immediately. So
what was, did you ever find out, was it a competitor or was it just somebody who wanted to move up in those listings?
Honestly, it's probably, to be honest with you, I don't really know, but, we think it was a competitor.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, that was April 2012. And so our Craigslist business, dried up fairly quickly after that. But, you know, again, and I know you're going to hear me say it a lot, and I know not everybody on listens to this as a Christian, but God has been good to us, and he had a plan. Jim Cockrum had an auction in the summer of 2012 where it was an eBay auction where he sold his book, 101 Free Marketing, and along with it was a 30-minute phone call with him. And I knew the auction was running, but it wasn't until the day of that I got an email. The day the auction was ending, I got an email from Jim. The email that everybody got. And I just knew that I had to win that. And so I came into my wife. She wasn't up yet. And I said, Malene, I need to bid on this auction. And here's what I think I need to bid to win. And it was a lot of money and still would be a lot of money. She said, well, whatever you think. So we bid and we won the auction. Thank God. And Jim was so gracious to us. My parents lived very near to him where he lives. And so I knew that. So I asked him in lieu of a 30-minute phone call, would it be okay if my wife and I fly up there and take you out to lunch? Amazing guy. And he said, yeah, of course. So he actually, bought us lunch and spent 2 hours with us.
Wow.
And that was the lunch that changed my, it's not overboard for me to say it's the lunch that changed my life.
Well, I'm going to pause there for a second because did you see yourself failing or the business failing?
Oh no, I saw the business as failing. It just
okay. So the business, it wasn't you personally failing.
No, just an unfortunate incident that happened.
Because I just wanted to know where was your head at?
Yeah, I mean, I was nervous, of course, just like anybody else.
I mean, were you desperate at that point?
I wouldn't say I was desperate.
Because
I was starting to sell a little bit more on Amazon, so I could see that happening with the Fulfilled for Furniture. But up till then, Craigslist had been like 90% of our business. So.
But you actually were putting furniture up on Amazon and on eBay.
Correct.
Furniture.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, local pickup only, I guess?
No, because at that time, remember 2011, we were at the store, and so that's where I learned how to sell that's where I learned how to ship furniture across the country.
So you could LTL to anywhere.
Correct.
Oh, very interesting.
Absolutely.
So how were the margins then? Compared to what you were doing off of Craigslist. Well, you had no fees on Craigslist, so there's obviously a big deal.
Way better. I mean, Amazon takes the 15%, so we just had to raise our prices a little bit. But the margins weren't as good on Amazon, that's for sure. But obviously the exposure was better.
So would you say your sales, I guess you're going to answer this. I was just trying to understand how bad – the Craigslist business got and how much of the Amazon business made up. Did it make up any of it, or a percentage of it?
I'm trying to think back because that was 2012 because Craigslist died in 2012 for us in the summer.
But the year before you had almost $1 million in sales.
$1 million in sales.
I mean, think about that. That's incredible to think, I guess there's another lesson there too, is that, you had all your apples in one basket, right?
Right.
And
right.
It just, one algorithm change, where they take your listings down, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Anything like that can change your life because you're not in control.
Yep, exactly. That's so right. Okay. Okay.
All right. So you go up to Jim, and, uh-huh. and what does he – was the clouds open? What did he explain to you? because it is so a life-changing – is a big – that's
really
a big statement.
It is a big statement, and I don't back down from that because he told me about Fulfillment by Amazon. He told me about mm-hmm. FBA, and so I immediately – the scales fell off my eyes, and I was like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. we have – because of the all this wholesale context that we have already – they also have okay. So we would go to shows like the High Point Furniture Show, but there's not always just furniture there. They have like companies that have decor items and small
accessories.
Items.
I mean, my God, so gazillions!
Oh my gosh, all these other small things that would be perfect for FBA. And then it also opened us up to wholesale samples because we would go to the these trade shows, and then outside of trade show time, these warehouses. These wholesale showrooms have samples, and so we were able to buy samples at half of wholesale, sometimes 75% off of wholesale. And I had always known that, but I'd never made the connection with taking those samples and selling them online. So when he told
me, you didn't know
that,
where to sell them, right? Yeah. I mean, you're going to sell them on Craigslist.
Right.
It's really small.
Yep, exactly.
But now you can send it in to FBA, boom.
Yep.
So the clouds did open. All right, I'll give them that. That's a big statement. It is, but you know what? That exposure. Today we kind of take it for granted because we all live and breathe this stuff. But in 2011, that's when we started FBA too. It was, nobody, nobody did it,
yeah.
Very few people. So that's it's really great. All right. So you come back, were you really jazzed?
My goodness. Yeah. I mean, so we just started immediately getting into the FBA model, and we're still selling furniture, obviously, but we focused more time on finding wholesale sources that we could buy and sell using FBA.
You and your wife both, or did you split the roles?
When we're doing, I would say a little bit more me at that point.
Okay.
But still, she was very involved, but becoming less and less.
Okay. Yeah. So at that point, that was really your focus turned to sourcing.
Yep.
Right. And she's working in the office or whatever. Yep. At that point. Okay. So when do you get back to a full-time living? I mean, did it almost immediately turn that quickly?
Well, because the furniture had done so well, I mean, it's always been full-time for us. Really,
okay.
Honestly, it has. And that, again, it's just...
But you went from $1 million in sales down to almost nothing. Well, I mean, that's where I was going. How quickly did you scale back up?
2013 was a really good year for us. But then that's when I started getting into... information. But okay, so I make it sound like it died completely. So Craigslist did die in the summer of 2012, but when my dad told me about the ads in April, that was a lot of the cities, but not all of them.
So okay, so you still had some.
It was, yeah, more of a slower transition where Craigslist died slow. It died a slower death. It wasn't just immediate. So there, it wasn't like we went from all this money to suddenly nothing. But Amazon came in at the right time for us and made up the gap.
Let me make one more, because my mind goes places. I just want to
sure.
make sure I understand this.
Sure.
You didn't take possession of the furniture until it was sold.
Yeah,
correct?
That's the perfect thing about it.
Oh, so yeah. So you were the arbitrage. That's arbitrage. Beautiful.
Nothing in inventory. I had no inventory costs.
Okay, so it's not like even if sales stopped, you had no cash outlay.
Correct.
Right. So okay, other than your living expenses. Okay, so I get it now. Other than owning a retail store, that's a bad thing,
yeah.
Right? That's when you own a retail store. Ask Sports Authority, right?
Right.
Now they're that's what's wrong.
Right.
When you have no overhead or your inventory is already paid for,
yeah.
It's a different story.
Yeah,
so wow. Okay, so you start really getting hot and heavy into FBA.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start? Was it – did the first CES, is that your first foray into information or – because you had a wholesale list. I remember that.
Yeah, so
– but was that then or
pretty
before?
Pretty much. Well, the wholesale list was a little bit before.
Okay.
So that lunch introduced me to Jim, which – and, it's all about relationships.
Right.
Once you get to know somebody, there's all kinds of things that, partnerships can happen. But so I did for a very short time, did a wholesale list type of thing. But then I had the idea of a book called Real Wholesale Sources, and that launched right after the first CES. Jim had me get up on the stage, and I asked if it was okay for me to go ahead and talk about that. It hadn't launched quite yet.
And this was the one, the CES in Orlando. I was not at that CES.
That's correct.
That was CES 1.
That's right. Okay. So Real Wholesale Sources was born right about that time. And that's when I just got my first entrance into information and the power of it. And I kind of fell in love with it immediately.
Is it because, I mean, can you go back to your political days? I mean, is that, you know, your ability to influence others in a positive way? I mean, nothing negative, but the ability to clearly, you know, clearly explain information. I think that's one thing, right, a positive campaign would do is, be able to break it down so people can understand it and that kind of thing. Is that one of the skills that you think you bring to the table?
You know what? I've never actually thought about that, but it's possible. I mean, for me, it's a very possible, yeah, because you are doing that in a campaign. For me, I just enjoy helping people. And it was an opportunity to, you know, for Jim talks about a win-win-win. You know, obviously it was a win for me because he sends it out to his whole list and I get a bunch, you know, a flood of sales really quickly. For him, it's a win because they get great content, and hopefully it's a win for the audience because they get a good deal on some content. I would
say it must have been because you had some real success with that.
Yeah.
Now, so after CES1, so now you – at that point, where is this you and your wife? You did not partner with anybody other than you. You fell under Jim's wing at that point.
Correct.
And so when did MM8 get together?
It actually started right after CES1 as well. That's where I first met John Buller Jr., who started us all. He actually started MM8 just as a – and we weren't even called MM8. We were just a bunch of guys that would get on the phone and share sourcing. So it would be more like, you know, hey, John, I was just at Walmart today and saw these pie face games. I think you really need to go get them. That was the whole vision that John had behind it, just to get some guys together and share deals.
So you were all buyers and sellers.
Correct.
And so you're just taking advantage of, hey, and you're in different markets.
Yep.
And so, hey, I've got this, and you're all contributing. And now, turns out there were eight of you. Were there eight right from the beginning?
I was actually the very last one. And it's amazing. Again, it's another God thing. The reason I'm there, I'm now a member of MMA, was John had met me, and so he had reached out to Roy Stroud, who's one of the guys, and because he knew Roy had met me in Orlando too. And so they talked about it all and then invited me in. But I had sat right in front of Roy and his daughter Amanda at the first CES. He happened to spend time with my wife and I there. He took us out to lunch, so I got to know him. So I really believe that, you know, me sitting in front of him made a huge difference in the fact that I'm a part of the group now.
Well, there was a connection.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And I always tell people that, you know, when you could talk to somebody for 30 or 40 minutes and it seems like it's only been 5 minutes. There's a sign right there that you have a connection, right?
Yeah.
And you can get – when it's not all about them and it becomes a little bit about you, and there's another sign, right?
Thanks.
And so when you're talking – let's just talk through the guys. You got Barrington McIntosh, who's awesome, right? Mr. International, Mr. Coffee, Mr. Jamaica, who everybody knows. I mean, he's such a vibrant, helpful seller. Just always helping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Wolf, all right, Mr. Toys. He was the toy boy. He's down by me. I see Lance every so often. Eric Hardwick. I don't know Eric.
Uh-huh.
I think I met him at one of the CESs. And you had mentioned Roy Stroud.
Uh-huh.
And what is his? He is he's an SEO guy.
Yeah, actually, he started that way. Correct. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And so he's doing private labeling.
Uh-huh.
Mike Pimko.
Yeah.
He's an information guy, right?
Actually, he started out SEO too. And he and Roy met at an SEO conference. That's how they knew each other, actually. So they came into MMA knowing each other, not real well, but they had, you know, kind of done some SEO conferences together.
Ken Kelly, the bookman,
shoe guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is Mr. Shoes, right? He is, we had him, we know Ryan and John Buller Jr.
Yep.
And I know John, I know his dad a little better. So that's a pretty big group. And you guys have been, so now it's, and I asked you this when we started.
Uh-huh.
So that was what year?
That was the 2013. Yeah, 2013.
Right. You're still together.
Yeah.
Now think about that. You know, I would say, you know, I see a lot of groups come and go, and I see, you know, interest change, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come and ebb and flow. But the fact that the eight of you guys are still together is a pretty impressive Because it's hard to get – it's like herding cats. You're entrepreneurs, man. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, three-year-old kids in a candy place. It's like, where are they going? I don't know, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I wish I would have talked to you before we started, because that's exactly a great way to describe it.
Well, you know, you just came back from – you just had your conference. Yeah. Now, this is your second conference or third?
That was our second one.
Your second conference. And, you know, there are a couple key people that, you know, we talked about beforehand. Joy Packard, who I think the world of, amazing, dynamic woman, sings you guys praises. And David Shannon is another amazing guy, had both of them on. And, you know, David is the shoe guy, selling 20,000 pairs of shoes. But he will help anyone because he's that kind of guy. And so will Joy. Who else do we know that has been through your group? That I can think. I want to see if anybody else I've interviewed.
Do you know Linda Joseph? She's been at most of the CESs, and she used to be a partner with Nancy Alexander.
Okay, I know the names. Yeah, I'm not a connected guy. Okay. I'm just, you know, just a. But I know I've interviewed other people that have sung the praises, and they seem to think that you guys have, because of the approach and experts in so many different things. Mm-hmm. That's what the benefit is. Mm-hmm. That because, you know, what interests you might not interest me, but what Barrington has, I'm interested, or whatever.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that connection, and that's what's nice about having a large group like that.
Right.
So walk us through your conference. What's the goal, and what were the results?
Oh, man. So we kind of just built it as very Amazon-focused. We had people from at all levels of experience. So from the –
Oh, so brand new.
Yeah, we really did, and we didn't think that they – we made it a high price point because we just really want to work with the people that are serious about their business. And so you actually, you know, weed out people that aren't serious by having a high price point. But we go deep into Amazon. So Barrington brings the international piece. Ken and David Shannon talked about shoe sourcing and how to source clothes. I went very deep into wholesale. We had a private label intensive day where we went very, very, very deep into private label. So it's very Amazon focused. I know some other conferences are more general. You have a large amount of people that come to, you know, those conferences, so you kind of have to keep it general. Ours was very, very focused on solely selling on Amazon.
So how many people were there?
We had, including like everybody, like MMA and our wives, was like 42 people.
Oh, wow. So this is like herding cats again. Yeah. You got all these entrepreneurs. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to service them all.
Yeah.
So were you able to break down into smaller groups too, so they could get that one-on-one?
We didn't. We had a lot of break times, and we obviously invited them to lunch and all that. So we made time for that. It wasn't a part of like – wasn't necessarily like a breakout sessions.
Okay.
But Barrington did do – we changed this up on Friday, and – so we had people, it was a different kind of conference. We didn't have, you know, the sales page didn't lead right to the checkout page where they could pay. We had them do a survey, and we looked through the survey responses and then only invited the people that we wanted to invite. And then the survey questions were asking them about what they wanted to learn. So
you can almost customize.
Yeah, it's exactly what we did. We built the
conference
schedule around what people wanted to learn. And most of them, the biggest things were they wanted to learn how to go international. And they wanted to learn how to outsource. So Eric is our resident expert on VAs. He has a whole VA service. So Eric talked. Joy talked a lot about outsourcing because she's fantastic at that. Mm-hmm. But we took a different approach on Friday, and we decided, like, just a few days before the conference to cancel the lunch that we were going to have planned. And Barrington walked through people right then and there how to get set up with their VAT for UK and set up on their Amazon UK account. He had probably, I think, 9 or 10 people that decided to forego lunch and sit there, and he walked them through on their computers.
So they were able to sign up right then.
Right.
That's invaluable because, you know, as you're doing it, it's not like – I mean, this is government. It's not intuitive, right? Okay. You're answering that – you want to answer it this way.
Yes.
It's like, no, you can't.
Yep.
You got to do it this way.
Exactly.
Why? Well, we don't know, but that's what you have to do.
Yep. And we were able
to
do that in such a small crowd. I mean, if we had hundreds of people, that would have been really hard.
And I don't – I mean, this is my experience. In large crowds, I tend not to learn anything. You know, I mean, I'll pick up one or two things, but that's not really going to help, especially if you've scaled up to a reasonable size.
Right.
You know, it's really the relationships. And the other cool thing is the fact that I can say I know Barrington or I know Ryan face to face. I can email, I can Skype, I can do things.
Mm-hmm.
That That's the value. Mm-hmm. Do you think there'll be another conference? Do you think they'll do it again?
Yeah, I do. We had such a good response, and we had great testimonials, and the people are afterwards emailing us saying that was the best conference I've ever been to. So, like, with responses like that, and also just with guys like David Shannon, who you look at, you know, his what he's done since the first conference, and not that we take credit for that, but he does give Ken Kelly a lot of the credit.
He does give him credit. And matter of fact, I mean, you look at two students that you guys had, mm-hmm. and Joy is just as equal in giving you guys credit. She says, you know, that's where I really learned. I cut my teeth there, mm-hmm. and so did David. So, I mean, those are two examples who have really taken advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting. You know, that means that all those other people in the group had the same opportunity.
Sure.
The difference is they took action.
Right.
You know, and I always say Chris Green say 100 people buy his book and less than what did he say? I was just with him, and he's saying less than 10 will take action.
Wow.
I mean, even less than that. And I'm like, oh, man. You're killing me. I want, you know, that's heartbreaking.
It really
is. So, well, that's very cool. So what's next for the MMA boys? They are all boys,
yeah,
by the way.
Are,
I'm just
right,
talking
yeah.
about that,
Probably
you know?
Could use some estrogen in the group because, you know, it's yeah. helpful. But actually, we'll probably, I mean, my focus is the information side of it and figuring out how we can work together to do more information stuff. We really, I think, honestly, Stephen, that we're the best when we're together, when we're at a conference and we're teaching people. The way we do it, we all of us sit up there at the front the whole time. And even if I'm the one that's giving the presentation, other guys are chiming in and saying, hey, Ryan, can I interject something? And I think that's so powerful because it's not just me. It's like you got all these other guys that are experts and they're bringing their, you know, point to it and adding to it. It just is so cool.
It builds on each other. It really does.
It totally does. And I think that's what makes ours just different.
So what's your information? You're spreading out into the information. As a matter of fact, you were very candid with me. You know, you had a great year last year in sales. Mm-hmm. And this year you said, Steve, it's going to be a little lower because I'm pulling back on that side because I really want to do more uh-huh. of the information side of the business. That's
yeah.
kind of what you love. And you said that earlier,
right.
that you really did start to love that.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Absolutely.
So what are you going to do?
Also, I've just more courses probably, or maybe just expand on the ones I've already got. So I've been just blessed to work with guys like John Bullard Sr. We created a wholesale course, and then Jenny Hunt's in that group with us, and we have a wholesale mentoring program. Yeah, exactly. And so then Jenny Hunt and I have also got a private label, the Easy Way Mentoring Program. We're in the middle of a big launch for that again. That's a year old. I love that program because I take people through the Easy Way method of private label.
Is there an easy way?
There is, yeah. There is an easy way.
We'll talk about
it. Yeah, sure. So essentially, I took a course 3 years ago that talked about private label, and it was at the point where my wife and I were about to build a house thanks to the income that we'd been earning. But I didn't have enough to spend on going, you know, importing from China. That seemed really scary to me at the time. Still seems a little scary because I, you know, guys like Eric Hardwick and John Jr. do it all the time, but you know, they talk about some of the obstacles. Like, I think I'll stick to my easy way.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I found a wholesale company essentially, just to make it, you know, quick, that would allow me to take their product, remove their package insert, their packaging, put in my own packaging and call it my own brand.
So it's like a white label in
yeah,
essence.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's really what that is.
And
they're U.S. based?
They're U.S. based. They import from China.
Right.
But
they deal with customs.
Absolutely.
They deal with all that junk.
Yep.
They deal with getting paid and not getting paid and all the rest of the stuff that happens.
Right.
Ship sinking and product damage and all that jazz. That's all decided before it gets to you.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you have to pay a little bit of a premium?
Yes.
But you're paying for the service that they did. They did the work, so you pay for it. That's not unreasonable.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, the cool thing is they are only 25 minutes from me. And so I can, if I need to reorder, I just send them one email, and a guy shows up on a truck and brings it either to my warehouse or to my house, and we have a neighbor girl that comes over and processes it all. So
give me an example. So how many products have you been able personally to put through that system?
Four.
Okay. So four. I mean, that's a big deal. So four products, and they're still live?
They are. Yeah. One. Okay. One of them needs some reviving, but.
Okay. Yeah. There is a life cycle to this stuff, absolutely. Because others eventually figure it out and they get on it too. I mean, that's what happens, right? Everybody knows that.
Sure.
So you've been able to find one though, without having to travel to China, without having to communicate, without doing Skype, without all that jazz, and they take their label off. You put your label on it. I think also the liability would be significantly different because you're buying it from, quite frankly, they're the manufacturer, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And so it is the easy way. I mean, it really is the easy way.
Yeah.
You do give up some margin, as you say. But
that's right.
Okay.
But the very cool thing about it, I think what really resonates with people that get into my program and read my book is that they don't have to spend thousands and thousands on an order before they know it's going to sell. Like literally, I started with about 4 cases of the product, but I could have started with 1 case of 12. To test it out. And so really it's just so easy. It's easy. You don't have to spend all the money and the risk is so small.
So you're taking the pictures, you're putting them up online, you're creating the listing, you're doing the whole thing just like you would do if it was your own private label product.
Absolutely.
But again, you don't have to go and you can hold the product in your hand.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about inspecting it because you can pick it up and say, now, do they have a showroom? Is that the approach?
Yeah,
that they
actually did have they have a showroom, and I was able to check out all their products. And the cool thing is, once you get started with one wholesale company, you find one product, they might have other products that they would allow you to do that with.
Hmm.
So
from why would a wholesaler want to do that, right? So they have a production line, and they need to keep it moving, right? So there's a cost to that production line to sit there idle. And so if they can keep spitting them off, it's always like potato chips, right? Potato chips are sometimes made by the same company, and they just change the bag, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And potatoes and oil is really what it is. They might add a little bit of different salt. But generally speaking, that line has to keep going. The oil's hot.
Yep.
Keep putting stuff in it, right?
That's
and
right.
So – and that's really what it is, right? So if it, let's just say it's a microphone. I am staring at a microphone. So that microphone was made by XYZ company. They pulled their label off.
Yep.
You get your label on it.
Yep.
And now it's, you know, BOC.
That's it.
Label, right.
That's
okay. Very cool. That is the easy way. Yeah. It really is. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So that's a course that you have, and that's a book that you have. And then wholesale mentoring, what is that?
Yeah, so John Ballard Sr. is kind of really the expert of all the wholesale side.
He's a trade show guy.
He really is, yeah. So I've learned a lot from him. A couple years ago, he partnered up with me. We wrote a book called Beyond Arbitrage, so essentially going beyond retail arbitrage and going into wholesale. So we talked about how to find wholesale sources, and primarily for us, that's trade shows. And so then we just kind of took a course and created lessons. Jenny helped us out a lot with this part. With taking the book, dividing it up into easy step-by-step lessons with assignments at the end of it. And so we created a course out of it, and then there's a private Facebook group associated with it where people can ask questions, and we have folks like Joy. Joy's actually one of our experts in there, so if I'm a newbie, I'm asking a question, I don't understand this, you got people like John and Joy in there answering those questions.
And I think, you know, Beyond Arbitrage really does say something, right? You're basically saying, hey, you know, arbitrage is a great way. And I know you look at the young guns doing millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's a model.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that gets old.
Yep,
I mean, I get tired, you know, 5 minutes in the store, I get tired, right?
Thank you.
So, you know, when you can do it a different way, which is what you're saying through the wholesale model, that's a long-term – it's really creating a business, a sustainable business, I think, you know, especially if the account says, you know, hey, I got 8 Amazon sellers. That's all I'm going to allow. You know what your place is.
Right.
You know you have a long-term steady model. But that's not – they're not easy to get. There is an art form to it. You really have to develop relationships.
Yep.
You know, I'm actually heading to New York City tomorrow to meet up with another gentleman. We're going to a thing. And he had already went to one of the events today, and he saw another, you know, vendor that he's done business with, and he did business again today.
Oh, cool.
And so there is, you know, it's such a, you know, and he met him in Vegas.
Okay.
And here he is in New York City. And what's so cool, though, is that relationship is already there.
Yes.
So they knew each other. They knew exactly what it was. The vendor knew that he's legitimate, that he's going to take the product, do what he said, pay his bill, and he goes on.
Yep.
Now – he's going to say, hey, when he goes up, is you got anything else? As a matter of fact, he did, and he bought more.
Wow.
That's the power of that.
That
so
is.
You want to talk about a lot easier than going and scanning a whole bunch of aisles.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
So What else are you working on? Anything else secret that you think that you see? Do you see a need out there that's not being met right now currently? You had mentioned that in your group there are two things, right? So outsourcing is a big deal.
Yeah.
And do you see anybody really addressing that?
The outsourcing? Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah. I'm looking – when I get on Facebook, I see guys like John Jonas talking about his online jobs.ph, and he actually spoke at the first CES.
Okay. I'm not familiar with him. John Jonas?
J-O-N-A-S. Yeah, really good guy. I haven't heard a lot from him in a while other than just the Facebook ads that I see, so I'm guessing he's still doing really well. Eric Hardwick is doing well with his trainedvas.com site where he'll actually train a VA for you and hand them over. But that's actually, I'm actually trying to get Eric to do a book. I think he would do really well. He wants to.
Well, if you just heard a whole group of people say that that's one of the big things that they're struggling with, that might be a hint that there's a need.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, if I can only name a couple people that are talking about that I know of, then that probably is a big hole.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. So I want you to give me a couple tips that you see, especially because you've had some real superstars, you know, really take action and really run with it. Give us some tips that you think people can take and help them move their business forward.
Man, I would say get around sellers that challenge you. Go to conferences. Like, Stephen, you just spoke at the ACE conference with Sam Cohen. Go to events like that where you're around people that inspire you. Listen to podcasts like this where you can hear stories of people who are where you want to be. But if you go to a conference, take them out to lunch, email them or Facebook them and say, hey, you know, can I get an hour of your time and pick their brain? My biggest thing is don't do this business alone. It's so easy to be in your own little corner, scanning items at your Walmart and never talk to another human being that does this. And you get your family and friends think you're a nut because they don't understand what you do. So get into a Facebook group. You know, Jim has a great one, mysilentteam.com, that Facebook group. But just get around other people. The relationships are so huge. Even if you go to a conference and don't get even one single piece of content, which you will, you go to a conference, you're going to find one or two nuggets.
Something's going to resonate.
Absolutely. But even if you go to a conference and you don't learn a single thing, which you will, even if you don't, the relationships and the networking alone are by far, who knows what can come out of it. Just some of the partnerships. I met Jenny at CES2 in Dallas. And so now we have done so much business together with selling information. And it was because of a relationship. So get around other people, especially get around people that challenge you, that increase your thinking. Look at these people that are doing these big numbers. Find out why they're doing that, how they're doing that. Is that the way you want to go? Do you want to go that direction? Eric Hardwick's doing $4 million in business on Amazon. Is that the direction you want to take your business, or do you want to be more, you know, wholesale? But number one thing is just don't do it alone. Get around other people.
Yeah, the other thing that I say is that when you're at these conferences, you can't be shy. Wallflowers, you know, I mean, let's face it, you kind of want to tell your story because you've had some success. So it's kind of flattering when somebody comes up to you and said, hey, you know, what do you do? Oh, what? And you start talking. I mean, it's kind of flattering.
Yeah.
And I tell the story. This is a true story. So down at the AACE conference, I met these two guys, great guys, and we're chatting. And I said, was there anybody here you'd like to know? Because I knew everybody, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, Chris Green, I would love to meet him. So what do I do? I'm like, watch this. I go buy Chris a beer, and I bring it over to him. He's like, Steve, what are you buying me a beer for? I said, I have two guys I'd love you to meet. Would you spend a few minutes talking to him? Of course, you know, Chris, of course he gets up.
Yeah.
He comes over. They were together. I actually came back. I think it was a half an hour or an hour late. I said, all right, now I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable. You guys are spending too much time together. But it was just so cool to see that ice broken. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Because Chris loves to tell his story and he loves to help people. So you just have to be not shy and not rude.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, just offer, buy him lunch, just, you know, buy him a beer, just chat, you know, and talk about them a little bit too, because they want to tell their story.
Yeah.
I think it's really great.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. So now you got to give me one more functional tip that we could do. And I think wholesale is a great model. And I think you're not wrong that, you know, beyond arbitrage does make sense. I think that, you know, there are people that get, you have to do it though, right? You have to get that through your system. You have to understand that whole model.
Uh-huh.
But then you can move past it. Did you do any online arbitrage at all, by the way?
A little bit.
A little bit. That didn't excite you very much?
No, I just kind of got bored of scanning websites.
Yeah, plus you're already in the wholesale world. I mean, yeah. When you're that far advanced, because that's harder in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's harder. I mean, it's easier, I think, once you do it. But it's harder to understand a little bit because each company's different and, you know, all the different things. But once you get it, you get mm-hmm. it. So, okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to beat you up for any more because I think you're so right. You know, it's really the networking, the conferences that are upcoming. You know, I know Travis Ross just had his at Rocky Mountain. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm watching the comments from these people. It's amazing, you know, the relationships that are established and the action that's being taken. I mean, it's just so exciting. Yeah. Best way to find out more about you. Now, I'll put links to all your stuff here, all these courses and stuff like that, because I say to people, you know, groups, you really want to be in a group that you fit with. Mm-hmm. There is a fit, and if you're comfortable in that environment, don't move. You know, that's your environment. But mm-hmm. look around until you find somebody that you really fit with. And I think there's value in every one of them. I always say that because I really do. I think people fit where they should be, mm-hmm. right?
That's right?
So what's the best way to get in touch with you?
My website, ryanrieger.com. And then,
great.
I have a link on there. They can download a free book that I created. And then I have an email list they can join if they'd like. And then facebook.com/Ryan Rieger.
Okay. And I'll put a link to that too.
Okay.
Man, I appreciate you taking the time.
Of course.
You're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. But it's exciting. I mean, I'm excited for you guys. Again, here's the thing. 3+ years you guys have been together, mm-hmm. and you're still together.
Yeah.
That says something. That really says something. And you just put on a conference, and you had a whole ton of people there again. So that really says something about the quality of the group, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you at CES, I take it?
Yes, I will be there.
Well, I will be there too. So look forward to seeing you again, and I wish you nothing but success.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
All right.
Another great interview. Real strong seller, real strong group, the MMA group. You know, they've been around for several years now, and that says something. I'm going to have some more of those guys on because it just says something to me that it's just not a flash in the pan. You know, it's just someone who's been consistent. And, you know, when you have the likes of Joyce Packard or David Shannon, those are big names, very, very successful people who I think a real lot of. And it's just so cool to see what they've been able to take from that group and apply it. And I think that's the lesson. You're any one of these groups, I think there's just so many great groups, but if you don't go out and apply it, you're never going to see the success. Common theme, ability to bring it to market, ability to execute. You got it in you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.